is Sportsfeld once again. It is a very unique time. This is a very unique, unheard of, unprecedented. We are seeing things right now as we record. It is a little after 5:30 on Wednesday, and we have seen the Milwaukee Bucks are not coming out to play against the Orlando Magic. This game has been, the official word, I believe, is boycotted, but I believe the proper nomenclature here is a strike, because a boycott is when you withhold money, and when a strike is when you withhold your action and labor, and that is what these teams are doing. This comes, of course, in the wake of the Jacob Blake shooting, which is unfortunately another name that we have to learn because of excessive use of bullets by police officers. There's no other way to put it. Cold-blooded murder, shot 7 times in front of his family. They were, called to the murder scene because he was trying to break up a fight between two white women and a black man. An innocent black man was shot for that. It is, something that we as a society promised to deal with a couple months ago, and it has not gone away, despite the voice of Apu on The Simpsons changing, and Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben changing. There has been very little in the way of actual action, in actual measurable improvement. Things continue to be, places like Portland, plenty of high tension. We are not through this in the long run, and part of the commitments that people made when the George Floyd protests first broke, and when this first once again catapulted into the public consciousness, was that it was going to be an extensive, long battle. And now we have the NBA, which we have said many times is sort of the tip of the culture spear, really leading the way in terms of influence in not just the sports world, but in the culture world at large. Some players, after the news of Jacob Blake came out, were visibly shattered. I can't remember seeing more emotional uniform reaction, and there's reason for that, and we have a lot obviously to dig into today, because this is something that I don't think I've ever seen in my life. I'm sure Jake has never seen it in his life, but we have players that are being willing to stand for something, and without question we unilaterally support the Bucks and the Magic, and I believe the Lakers and the Blazers, and I think there was another game already canceled today. All these guys really recognizing the power that they do have to steer these conversations. And when it comes to playing for the people that they play for, the ultra rich, money is what gets their attention. We saw that with the Washington Redskins changing their name. You have to affect them in the pocketbook, and dramatically affecting major TV deals and networks scrambling and millions and billions of dollars on the line is the way that they're going to get attention. So all the power to them. Jake, that was 3.5 minutes of me talking and rambling. But, I think this episode, what we planned this episode to be about an hour and a half ago versus what this episode is about now, is something that we are sort of figuring out on the fly. We are just going to talk through sort of our feelings on this and sort of all the different layers to this. But ultimately, it starts with the very disappointing and upsetting news and footage of yet another tragic story that we are now all too familiar with.
Yeah, I think that's sort of... I think the all too familiar with it point, I think, is sort of the crux of this. Like, you saw it a lot in Fred VanVleet's statements yesterday and Norman Powell's statements yesterday, and Doc Rivers, and many, 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 many statements of non-NBA people. But the fact that it's just, the players were sort of seemingly on the fence about going to the bubble in the first place. Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard obviously made very public comments about that. And then the players went to try and use their platform. And then, the NBA, the league, I should say, not the NBA workforce, the league sort of, told them what messages they could put on their jerseys, and did a lot of, for lack of a better term, posting a black square in messaging. And now the league is the or the not the league sorry now the players are going about making a real stand and a real statement, and it's unbelievable to see. It's amazing. It's truly what happens when a labor movement and people with a real legitimate platform use that platform for good and for the good, and speak out and speak their mind and use their power. And it's the kind of thing that's also like, you know, mate, like if everyone had a union, and maybe these things could happen more often, but you know, power, all power to them, because this is not going away, because the system is a failure, abjectly, like not even a question. The system is a failure. It should be torn down. If it needs to be burnt down, so be it. This is not, like, even today in Toronto, we had the SIU say that they are not, there's no credible reason to file criminal charges in the death of Regis Paquette, because, you know, the SIU is formed to protect the cops in these situations, and the system just isn't working, and it's not going to be fixed by voting necessarily, and it's not going to be fixed by messaging on the back of a jersey. It's going to be fixed by people standing up and forcing the change. So absolute power and solidarity to the NBA players, to the protesters, to the people who are out there fighting every day, to people who are donating, to people who are doing anything but just saying, this will be nice when it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Or even worse, on the other side.
Yes. And I think part of this also comes on the heels of the shooting that happened. You know, I think that really elevated this whole scenario to not hard to see a fairly scary near future with the way that things are ramping up as we approach November and as we get into, you know, what will undoubtedly be another horrifying election to sit through. This is all building. Yeah. This is all building to that, and there's no result to that that isn't going to be like horrifyingly scary to go through. No matter. I worry just thinking about it, about how it's going to be ugly, and it's going to be long, and it's going to be just a lot of the really worst parts of this is only going to get louder, and it's not great. But to your point, tons of respect and admiration, and I will say, I'm really glad that the NBA has arrived here to this point. Obviously, not happy that they're postponing games, and not happy that you know, another horrible act happened that forced them to arrive here. But I'm happy that, you know, these guys were able to recognize that, yeah, Black Lives Matter is written on the court, and yeah, we wear Black Lives Matter shirts, you know, for warm-ups, but, you know, that's not enough for us. That for these guys to look at this and say, we're not satisfied with lip service, we're not satisfied with getting logos and awareness. Like, we're beyond awareness. We've arrived to, we're going to need action. And I think that's really impressive, and the strength and the unity that is being shown, and really just the grabbing of attention and power, and understanding that this is something within their means that they can absolutely control the news cycle. Like, for people that, you know, the people that live under sewage, that reply to tweets for a living, that are like, well, what does this accomplish? What does this really do? Well, for one thing, is it makes broadcasters, people like us, people that follow games, people that care about the NBA, even people that do just want to watch the basketball games and not have to deal with politics, you are forced to confront these conversations. You are forced, whether you like it or not, to understand these conversations and to talk about this kind of stuff. And that alone has a huge value. Forget, you know, the next level of it where they're talking about their ownership that is caught off guard by this and good. And the fact that the commissioner is going to have to get involved and that major networks are involved. I think recognizing that they have that power in their means just by what they decide to do with the situation they're in, and especially in the world we're in where there's so little new content. The NBA is a massive driver. So I think there's a lot of respect and a lot of really just, I'm just really impressed that you know, these guys aren't afraid to take this stand and to recognize the power they have and hold on to it. Absolutely.
I also think, you know, you said that the NBA was caught off guard by this, like the owners and the league were caught off guard by this. And if that's the case, then that just proves the player's point. Like if they were caught off guard by this, they're not, that all of it is performative and they're not listening at all. Like you had, how do you see or hear what Fred VanVleet and Norman Powell and Doc Rivers and Jaylen Brown all said yesterday and then be like, oh, we didn't see this coming? Like, that's just not listening to your players at all. You have Jaylen Brown saying that he looks at his jersey number now and sees the number of times that Jacob Blake was shot in the back by police. And then the owners turn around and say, oh, I didn't know that they were considering this kind of action. Like, it just proves their point, and just proves the point that the rich and white don't have the interest of their workforce. Or if not the interest, maybe that's unfair, but they definitely don't have it's not at front of mind. And then when this kind of thing happens, they can turn and be like, oh, wow, they actually did something. And it's just, I don't know, it just proves their point. I think that's just like, it makes this strike even more brave and admirable, in my opinion. And also to your point on, you know, using a boycott or a strike of sports as a way to call attention to it for people who live under rocks or reply to tweets. I think, you know, we talked about this when we were talking about COVID and the idea of going back to play in the midst of a literal pandemic. And we kind of said how sports are a reward. And they're not just a reward for getting, you know, a disease under control. Sports are a reward for your society functioning in a proper way. Distractions and entertainment are necessary in a society. And I'm not going to say that entertainment does not have value, because it does, but it's still a reward for your society functioning. And one thing that has been proven is that society is not functioning. Because when a 17-year-old white kid can get water from cops and shoot two people at a protest and then walk out of the situation, that's not a functioning society. Like, it's just not. And then a man trying to break up a fight, running away, gets shot 7 times in the back. It's just not how, you don't get sports if that's the case. I'm sorry, you just don't.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's unfortunately not surprising to see that double-sided thing where the kid who shows up with an AR from a different state gets water and gets peacefully detained while the innocent guy gets shot. Not that the guilty person should get shot either. Like, we're, you know, that's always the part of the argument that, like, guilty people shouldn't be shot by the cops. The cops shouldn't be shooting people.
Right. But the argument of shoot them in the leg instead is a bad argument. It's not better.
We are really, and this is minute to minute, like, we're really dealing with, the possibilities are endless. It's hard. We can't predict the future, and it's hard to guess even, you know, as of tomorrow afternoon where we'll be sitting here. But I can see, you know, it's not hard to take from some of the, as you mentioned, sort of the quotes from a lot of the players and from coaches and from people in the bubble who are observing these guys. It's really not hard to see a lot of games being postponed, players leaving the bubble. Like, really, everything is on the table here, and it's really interesting. It's hard to even describe how incredible this is.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a meeting tonight for NBA players to discuss a formal general strike, which, power to them. Strike till something changes. Fuck it. Like, yeah, I was excited for the Raptor series, but who gives a shit? Like, strike all the way. And I think it's also notable that I didn't realize this till I saw it on Twitter, but 4 years ago today was the first time that Colin Kaepernick took a knee in the NFL. And, you know, we've said that Kaepernick should be in the Hall of Fame, which unquestionably should, but, like, man, like, Kaepernick has to be looked at as nothing other than a revolutionary who was abandoned by his union and by the system and his league and everything. And he was right the whole time and in the right the whole time.
The NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly says currently no plans to postpone the NHL games tonight. Not a shocker.
What a surprise. Big surprise. I look forward to the NHL linking arms in the anthem and then never discussing this again.
Man, oh man. We were going to make fun of Logan Couture on here. And it's barely even...
Yeah. But I do. That does sort of highlight the gulf in the leagues, I think.
Yeah, Logan Couture, who took to the internet this morning to complain about the fact that he talked openly at a Toronto bar last night about wanting to vote Republican if he could and supporting Donald Trump, and then claims he was sucker punched in the head for it. And I gotta tell you,
and he's now apologized and said that his lesson that he took from this was that he shouldn't use his platform with politics, which is not the lesson. And also said that he doesn't support Trump, so maybe he just made up a dumb fucking story because he's a dumb fucking guy.
Yeah, here's what everything points to. A guy who claims to not actually support Trump, claiming that he was just talking about it out loud at the bar. I think I paint a pretty clear picture as to how he may or may not have been acting in the situation that got him popped in the head.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And there's no good way he was acting. Also, I don't believe he actually got popped in the head, just for the record. But if he did, cheers to whoever punched him in the butt.
Yeah, no. Like,
whatever.
I agree.
I don't know. I thought I was going to have time for Logan Couture today. I don't think I do.
Totally, anymore. Totally. There's nothing to it. Boy, oh boy. So yeah, it's officially three postponements today. As you said, there will be a meeting between the players. Every player in the bubble will be at this meeting later on. And as we are on doing this, tweet after tweet from NBA players, LeBron has weighed in, said we're fucking sick of it. We want justice. John Wall, we will no longer shut up and dribble. Another part of this, and I think something that I think it maybe was Pascal possibly said it, or Norm, is also that, like, you know, we're just going to these guys day after day after day after day for their thoughts about this, and they're not allowed to see their family. They're living in isolation. They're disconnected from the community. They're away from home. They've been in a hotel room for months. Man, like, these guys, first of all, they deserve a break. But second of all, I just can't imagine with all that they are going through to be brave enough to say this is awesome.
Not only that, but, like, I don't mean to say this in any way that takes away from what they're doing, but, like, the onus shouldn't fall on these guys to be doing this.
100%.
Like, when you talk about a failing society and a failing system, like, this shouldn't be on these guys. Like, fuck, they're basketball players, which does not, I don't mean that in a negative way, but, like, like, where the fuck are our politicians? They're supposed to be in charge of this shit. Like, where, you know, you have John Tory putting out a statement of how sad he is about Regis's death when, like, 3 weeks ago he voted against defunding the cops. Like, it's, I don't know. It's tough. Like, I just, like, have so much admiration for these guys for, like, I hate to say, use the term put your money where your mouth is, but, like, damn.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what's being done. It's incredible. We have more to get to. We have tons to sort of sort out and to continue tracking this and analyzing this. We'll do that in just 1 second. As we continue to roll forward, it's a moment-to-moment thing, as we said. Boy, oh boy, some incredible stuff pouring in by the minute. The Washington Mystics, WNBA, who we cannot deny. The WNBA has done an incredible job being a leading voice in this. There's a couple things to mention with the WNBA, is they were asked if a boycott, or if, pardon me, a strike, maybe will happen on their end, and they have to do point out that they sort of have to fight in different ways in the NBA. They don't have the luxury of the deal being billions of dollars and TV time being something they hold as power. It's sort of the exact opposite. But they found a way to make their statement very loud and very impactful. The Mystics entering the tunnel where you usually get the classic fit cam, whatever anybody's wearing. They're wearing individual shirts that spell out Jacob Blake's name on them. And on the backs of each of these shirts is 7 bleeding bullet holes. It is really powerful. Holy smokes. Really incredible as well. Adrian Wojnarowski, Big Watch, of course, gives us this message. Emotions are raw. Players were already worn out of the bubble environment prior to the shooting. And sources say discussions within teams are ongoing about postponing tomorrow's 3 games 2 and beyond. The season is in jeopardy, one veteran player tells ESPN. This is going to be the story of the weekend. And the Brewers, right on time. The Milwaukee Brewers are not going to play tonight's game against the Reds. Of course, Kenosha, Wisconsin, is the spot of the shooting. 3 people shot, 2 fatally during the protests. Really just... Man, things are spiraling here, but by the minute.
Yeah, the Cincinnati Reds have now also agreed to not play, to avoid a forfeit situation, which is what I call. Both teams have agreed to sit out tonight's game. It's crazy. This is like the 17th time in the last 6 months we've seen history happen in real time. So it's like. This, I think this is one of those situations, and we were sort of touching on it very briefly a minute ago with the NHL saying there's no plans to cancel games. And, like, people do what they feel is right, but also, like, show some solidarity. Mm-hmm. But also, I feel like the NHL loves putting their head in the sand.
Right.
On issues. And I really don't want to turn a discussion on the admirable and brave stances that the NBA and WNBA players and the Milwaukee Brewers and Cincinnati Reds are taking and turned into, wow, the NHL's fucking dumb. But, like, there comes a point where you can't just put your head in the sand on things. And you can't just take the easy, let's ignore it till it goes away. Or if not ignore it, at least not acknowledge it heavily. And I don't know. Hockey culture is so poisonous and so broken also, which we know, but, like, at a certain point, the league's either got to at least got to plant a flag somewhere.
Mm.
I don't know. I yeah.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. The put your head down and play through it. Culture is very prevalent in that end, and I think You know, something we're seeing, we have been very right and quick to praise the NBA, and now the Brewers are for doing this. But you know, similar to how the NBA led the way for people to really understand the seriousness of coronavirus and for us to really take to the next level shutting down businesses and things of that nature, you know, people can realize from this that like striking is also a thing you can absolutely do, right? Like a general strike can be bigger than sports. Like you can really take this power in a lot of different places. It doesn't have to be in the sports world. It doesn't have to be doing it on television for $1 billion contracts. This is an actual tangible thing that allows the employees and the people that are underprivileged and underpaid and in situations that make them feel powerless. This is a way to grab power.
Yeah, the thing about a workforce or a labor force saying, no, we're not going to work today, is that any workforce with a union can do that. Like, yes, the NBA players have tons of money, and I don't think that can be overstated. And the fact that they're literal financial livelihoods, well, they're not on the street tomorrow. But that also, makes it even more impressive that they're leaving this amount of money on the table, potentially.
Right.
But also, this proof, power does not have to be in the hands of the owners. Like, there is no NBA without the NBA players,
That's right.
and good on them for knowing that. And that is the case for pretty much every workforce in the world.
Crazy. This is
Obviously, it's obviously not as simple and easy as that, or easy to do as it is to say, and I don't want to sound trite about that.
right.
But strikes are powerful.
Yes, and obviously it takes a lot of organization and it takes a lot of cohesion and cooperation and planning. But I don't know. This is really a powerful major thing that I'm, to be perfectly honest, completely shocked that the Brewers are deciding on not to play. That
Yeah.
man, that
And
crazy.
the Detroit Lions canceling their practice yesterday in protest, which I did not know happened. I think I don't have the I guess I don't follow football people
Yeah.
really. I mean, good on them. Yeah, it's this is a like I don't want to use the term like watershed moment because I think that's a dumb cliche term, but it's hard to look at it as anything but.
No, absolutely correct. It's very interesting to have been, you know, witnessing sort of the way the world was going. I think we're both sort of on this trip where, you know, we saw you saw something after thing that seemed really strange and really crazy and really like you would think that the universe, everybody involved would be able to agree that it was bad and people not doing anything about it. It's crazy to see it start to swing back where, you know, people are calling these things out publicly and people are making a point to like I don't know, a year ago I would never in my wildest dreams have imagined the NBA would have a strike in the middle of the playoffs. Like there's
No, oh my God.
and especially I think the thing about it is especially that they aren't striking for anything to do with basketball, right? They're not striking because of salary, they're not
Yeah.
striking because of the CBA. They are striking because of what is happening in the world. I think that's I am amazed by that.
And I also think that you and I need to be called out a little bit too. And I've been saying, that boy, it's so nice to have the NBA back and not have to talk and to have sports back as a distraction to not that doesn't have to be qualified with, oh, but
Right.
COVID. And yes, that's true, but also that sort of ignores, maybe not intentionally, but that's the whole point of this, that some of this isn't intentionally. You know, this ignores the fact that these guys are in the midst of this massive protests and uprising, and they were just told to kind of go and, as you said, be away from their families and shut up and play the game. Or not necessarily shut up, because obviously they have been speaking their minds. But I think that the attitude that the way we look to sports as a distraction, I think can be a harmful thing in a way.
Totally.
Not to say that looking at it blinds you entirely to other issues or what's going on, but the fact that those are the things that, you know, I was saying there is part of the issue as well. Even if it's well-meaning, and even if it's just turning a blind eye, and it's just not. And so credit to them for forcing the hand of everyone to not look away.
We have more. Jeff Passan, following the cancellation of Brewers Reds, more teams discussing possibilities of not playing. Among those currently discussing it, the Seattle Mariners, who have more black players than any other team in the MLB. This is wild. This is really wild.
Yeah, and I think the important thing to remember for everyone is that it's not going to stop. And the way it stops is by change happening. And like we were kind of saying a minute ago with the NHL, you can't just put your head in the sand and wait. Like, it's, if you want your sports back, call your fucking counselors. Like, it's the same as it was. If you want your sports back, wear a mask. It's the same deal.
Yeah. Wow. This is a powerful day. This is really something, I don't know, it's hard to describe, because you know, as I mentioned months ago when we first had this thrust back upon us with George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, it was a lot of confusion and sadness and anger and all these other things combined, and those feelings all still exist. But it's really interesting to see now how quickly, just a matter of months, we are at a spot where what's happening is people are reacting to these stories with direct action immediately, like deciding within a couple days to totally tear this down. I think that's inspiring to see that growth, where from a couple months ago, people mostly had questions. What do we do now? How do we do this? What do we do? We now have action as sort of the immediate result of all this. I think it's really awesome. I think it is the beginning. As we said, this isn't the end of anything. This is just the beginning. And what an era we are in. For you talked about Kaepernick and how he was betrayed by his PA, and he was betrayed by his league, and betrayed by a lot of fans. Just a few short years later, how quickly that changes, how willing young players are to be part of this, how willing veteran players, a guy like LeBron, is willing to be at the forefront of this, and is willing to put aside personal legacies and stuff. I think there's something really, really incredible that we are seeing the early stages of that, especially when I look at the future generation, the kids that are watching this, that are being inspired by this. You know, we think about a guy like Ja Morant, who has already done so much more than what a lot of players that we grew up in the era of, knowing nothing of their politics, never. That we're already seeing young players, no problem, like being really a part of a really important, really big conversation about society at large. It's amazing.
Fred VanVleet is 26.
Yeah.
Like, he's leading. Like, Kyrie Irving was calling this shit out weeks and months ago. He's 28 years old.
Yeah.
Like, this is, and like, also, you know, this is a fight that you know, black people and activists have been fighting for years. Like, it's not a new fight. It's just now sort of in the foreground, which, like, is good that it's in the foreground. It's not good that the fight still has to happen, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, this is the... You gotta force eyes onto a subject for it to catch on as a problem. Yeah. And, like, judging by the other side and who they are and what they are and what they believe and what they don't believe, you know, this can't be a passive thing.
We should point out that we don't know that it's a unanimous. Chris Haynes is reporting that there is a sizable amount of players advocating to finish the season because sacrifices were made and they believe they can use the NBA platform as a resource in this social climate. This is using that resource, is what I would say. You know, using that resource includes the ability to stop using the resource. I think that is an important point to make. But I also understand that side of it. Mm-hmm. You know, players, you know, they already sacrificed a lot to be in this situation. And to a man, every single one of them loves playing basketball and wants to play basketball. That's not really what we're talking about, but
yeah, and I also think that's fair. And I think from our perspective, and by our, I literally mean yeah. you and I think that, and not only just our perspective, from people who want to be allies and support, the only thing we can do is stand in solidarity behind and beside whatever that decision is.
That's right. And yeah, you're absolutely right. If they decide to continue playing, that's on them. And if they decide not to, that is on them. And on both ends, they have our full support because, you know, it's a gigantic situation to be in. And even in just doing this, like, I think a very smart decision is to cancel this right now and figure out how they want to lead going forward so that everything is correct and everything is the way it's supposed to reflect how the players feel. I think that's really important.
The Red Sox and Blue Jays are making their way onto the field. It appears they will play.
Yeah.
From a local perspective.
Crazy. This is crazy. You know what? What's amazing is, like, you wouldn't have imagined a year ago that we would have sat down between and seen sports shut down. Now to be sitting here and facing it possibly happening for the second time in 6 months, it's amazing. This is truly an unbelievable time. Like, this is the truly the most amazing year I can think of in terms of all that has happened. Wow.
Yeah, no argument here.
Boy, it's, you almost want to just sit here and live read things that we're seeing on Twitters, but boy, the Bucks players we'll be making a statement momentarily, we hear. So there's that. I guess that probably about does it for our part here. I don't know what else we can say about sports other than that.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, that's all I got.
We believe these guys and they continue, we continue seeing many, many, many support all over the league and all over sports. Powerful stuff. Crazy. Hard to not be talking into my own chest here because there's just so much going on and I trying to keep a handle on it. But we will step away quickly and we will be right back to see what happens next. All right, we are moving forward with the creamy middle of the show. We get to the recommendations. It is time to prove that Jake is a music knower. You should know that from knowing Jake, but you should also know it from Columbia House Party. Every Monday, you get a new album, Jake, and of course, our friend Blake Murphy, who was just on CTV talking about the walkout in a WNBA hoodie, because how can we not stand Blake Murphy? Good Lord. He's also been on the forefront of grabbing some great quotes and writing about this with tact and with heart, and towing the right line. Blake is right is a statement I am ready to make blanketly, no matter what he does. But the point being, Jake is a music knower, and it's time for him to give you a recommendation, something to listen to this week. It is Song of the Week. Jake, what do you have for us?
I guess a little different than usual. Rather than one song, I am recommending an entire EP. The EP is called Black Plight. It's by Namdi, who I have mentioned before. He's already put out what is almost certainly going to be my favorite record of the year this year. He's also put out a great instrumental record this year and this EP. He put this EP out in June, first week of June, during the, I guess, first wave of these waves of the Black Lives Matter protests. It's three tracks. Whole thing is under 7 minutes, so it's actually shorter than probably some songs I've had for Song of the Week. But it is a incredible little EP, obviously, judging by the name, about the protests. Lyrically relevant, brilliant. You know, the first track is all about, you know, what's more important. First track called My Life. So lyrics are, what's it worth to you? Macy's or human life? Cop car, human life? Rolex or human life? You can fix a target, but you can't bring a person back to life. It's important stuff. And Namdi is so far ahead of almost every artist right now, in my opinion. He's putting out amazing, amazing stuff. Check him out. And a thing to, I think, also important to remember in all this is, don't just, you know, donate to causes and don't just protest. Also support Black art and Black joy. You know, don't just listen to what I'm recommending today on Spotify. Go to Bandcamp and buy it and send money to Black artists that you like and that you want to support, and pump their tires and post their shit on your socials and elevate what they do, because that's important too, and that is a thing you should do.
Excellently said. I should add, we talked about the NHL response. They will have a moment of reflection before the game, so
NHL, not nothing of, but fucking cowards at all times.
Boy, oh boy. Brutal. Match of the week. I'm going to tell a little story, sort of in the vein of what we've been talking about today. Not completely related, but just sort of a shout out to a good guy who did a good thing and paid a price for it, but sacrificed himself and his health for doing the right thing. Our friend Justin Morissette, who hosts a show called Wrestle Central, which is a wrestling show, not a podcast, it's a radio show on 650 Sportsnet out west in Vancouver. He also hosts Locked On Canucks. He also used to host a Real Good Show back in the day. A friend and a fan and an all-around good guy who does lots of good podcasts and good radio, and also hosts Top Marks with Josh, who I do the Twitch show, AE Double Dudes, on Tuesday. He lives in Vancouver, and in his community there is a group that I believe it's an evangelist group that go to a LGBTQT plus area in Vancouver and shout epithets and slurs and spread hate with a microphone and a speaker. The kind of people that you probably could picture in your city or in any city, just doing awful things and doing it in public and expecting there to be no repercussions for it, because most people just sort of shake their head and say, oh, that's terrible, and then walk about, or they tweet about it, or they get mad, or they do something. And people in the community had called the police and had been told there's nothing they can really do. But Justin said, enough is enough. I'm not having this shit in my community, because there are people I care about in this community and people I don't know in this community that I want to be safe and to be happy and to be able to go to grocery stores and walk down the street and have lunch and live their lives without having shit yelled at them from the street on a megaphone. So Justin stepped up, grabbed the microphone away from the guy, and ultimately paid the price. The group intentionally broke his leg. He is in hospital now. He has been in hospital for a couple days, dealing with a really gruesome, gross leg injury. But he, as well, you know, because the world is what it is, when he told this story, he then had Nazi Twitter find him, and all the worst kinds of Twitter you can think of, sort of culminating in his mentions. But in addition, plenty of good stuff there. He has had people sending him food out there in Vancouver. There are signs on the street that say, "We stand with Justin Morissette." Not an easy thing to do, to put yourself in that situation. And a lot of pain that came after it. But we want to give our love and support to Justin for standing up for people in his community and not being afraid and not just looking at this and saying, "Man, that's bad, they shouldn't do that," but actively standing up, getting himself in the way, and now those people are not on that street corner preaching and spreading hate. So shout out to Justin, best of wishes with his recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. I think something that I don't want to relate all that, like that, like Justin's sort of his bravery and everything that's happened today, I don't want to turn this into electoral politics right. chat. But the a thing I've seen mentioned before, if you follow Brianna Greyjoy on Twitter, which I highly recommend you do, Brianna Joy Gray, I'm sorry. If you follow her on Twitter, she was at the forefront of Bernie Sanders' campaign. And the slogan of "Will you fight for someone you don't know" is one that I think that just it's just a very good way to summarize this kind of stuff, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we continue updating, in the locker room, the Bucks were on a conference call with Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call and Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. So that was why they were literally calling the heads of their state.
And a point here from Anthony Doyle, who puts in quotes, "But what will the players actually accomplish?" And he points out there was a strike from one game, and they got a state AG and lieutenant governor on the phone within an hour. So pretty amazing.
Incredible. All the more to the power these guys are showing that they have and the ability to harness it and use it to get what they actually want. Awesome. Boy, oh boy, it doesn't stop. The history has not stopped rolling in. Really, really incredible. We talked last week about does this freak you out coming back? Doesn't seem like the right time to do that. Obviously, I think we're not totally tone deaf. We're not smart men, but we're not totally not totally idiots.
Yeah, I think if we've proven anything over the last, you know, 6-ish years of doing the show, it's that we don't know
That's
anything.
That's right.
But we're not
that. We know a good thing when we see it. I'll tell you that much. We're also gonna pause on what we've been watching, only because the whole point of this episode and the whole point of what the NBA is doing is to get your attention back where it belongs, and to throw you an easy show. And also, I'm still watching Breaking Bad. But more importantly. we don't mean to distract. This is one of those things where, you know, a night where we don't have easy entertainment and we continue to have hard conversations, is probably good for us. We got a little fat there. We got a little lazy. We got a little accustomed to sports being back and everything being easy and it rolling back in. And, you know, we even admittedly, as you said, this comes back to us and what we're doing, you know, to those conversations about, man, we felt bad about it, but now we've really sort of, you know, gotten used to baseball being back, and isn't it so nice? Well, you know what? There is a degree of, like, it should feel crappy to watch the Jays play the Red Sox tonight. You should feel that. You should feel disappointed in the fact that that's what these guys are choosing to do.
And, like, the NHL having their moment of reflection before the game tonight, which is horseshit to begin with. But also, like, Jacob Blake was shot 3 days ago. Like, they're not reflecting on the issues. They're reflecting because NBA players are actually doing something.
Right. Like, if they didn't...
Like, let's be clear.
Absolutely. If the NBA didn't cancel games, there's no way they would do a moment of reflection.
Absolutely. 100% correct.
Boy, oh boy. Incredible.
Boy, oh boy.
Incredible. This is incredible. I'm really amazed. I know I've been saying that a lot today, but I think to your greater point about the NHL and the moment of reflection, and you know, take them at face value here. They're showing you who they are. Right? These leagues are showing you who they are. These people, the players are showing you who they are into how they want to handle this. And we're talking about baseball. We're talking about a Jays team that guys didn't want to kneel, right? Guys were afraid to kneel in front of Anthony Alford, who was their only black player in the whole organization. He was afraid to kneel, and it's crazy. You know, we look at stuff like that, and we go back to the homeless Jays shirt, and to go back to Anthony Alford again. Like, remember when his family house burned down and he had to get a GoFundMe? Like, how difficult it must be to be Anthony Alford and to not ever really get a fair shake and to only have 10 game samples to prove you're a major leaguer, and then have your teammates not kneel with you, and then have your teammates poke fun at homelessness, and you know, like, it's not pretty.
Yeah, I think that, you know, people, but yeah, no, I'm with what you said. Never mind. I have nothing to add.
Man, oh man, Kenny Smith just walked off set.
Kenny Smith, yeah. Good for him.
Man. This is incredible.
Man.
This is incredible. We could be on here all night just repeatedly saying, wow.
This could be a live show of us reading tweets, for sure.
Which is not far off from what Sunday is. Okay, I think that about wraps it up. We're not going to do a mailbag today. It just seems tonally, we talked about it. We were going to talk about the NBA and talk about sports, and then see how we felt when it came time to open the mailbag, and it does not feel right. As much as we do want to have the fun and we love answering your questions, and it is a part of the show that we look forward to every week, just not the time. And if you are super interested in a mailbag and super interested in us having those fun answers, we do have a Patreon exclusive only mailbag episode coming out in the next 5 days. So that itch will be scratched. Oh, scratch will be itched? Itch will be scratched? Anyway, we will do that. But it just didn't seem right today. We hope you understand. We are sure that you will understand, because it's just a really, really... unbelievable, unprecedented turn of events, and I think giving the focus on that and keeping the focus on that is what matters to us.
Yeah, agreed.
That being said, we will have Sad Not Sad. We will still wrap things up the way we always do with Sad Not Sad. We're going to do that in just 1 second. Closing things up on an episode where we hope you are bearing with us, I think, is sort of the best way that I can... Hopefully you are bearing with us and nodding at least most of the way. And if you're not nodding, then don't listen to the show. Fair enough. I don't know.
And if you're not nodding, even listening this long, then, like, find something better to do.
There can't be many people that lasted this long and also listen to the show for this many weeks and don't agree with, like, any of this. Like, can't be many people
just listen to make themselves pissed off. Yeah,
and for an hour listen to that for an hour. Anyway, we will do what we always do, and that is answer the question of whether we are sad or not sad this week. Jake, I will throw it to you. Are you sad or not sad?
I'm going to cede my time for this answer today. And all I will say, because I realize we haven't said it today so far, is all I would say is that Black Lives Matter and Black Trans Lives Matter, and abolish the police. And yeah, if you disagree, please don't listen to the show.
Yeah. Absolutely. Jake, I will have to agree. This week, my sad not sad is that Black Lives Matter and Black Trans Lives Matter, and that we stand and give our full-throated and full-hearted support to all of this, and pledge to continue addressing and fighting and pointing out all this bullshit, and not giving our time and energy to the wrong resources. It would be silly of us to point to small, silly things we did in the last week that got on our nerves or made us happy. We are dealing with bigger societal change, and I really want to reiterate for the 10,000th time in this episode how much I admire the NBA players. I know that obviously there are people all over America and all over the world that are also putting their lives and their jobs and their everything on the line in their own ways, but these guys who must be exhausted, who must be tired, who must be at their wit's end for even being in the bubble situation and being tasked with carrying so much, and knowing that at the end of the day when they take their jerseys off, they go back to just being black men in America, which is a dangerous thing to be still in 2020. The fact that they are willing to use all that they have, and all you know, this is how you use a privilege that you're given properly, I think, is sort of the best way I would say it, is all they've gone through it and all that they now are able to enjoy. They're putting it all on the line to keep this conversation going and to keep the pressure on and to really push for real action, because as we said before, we are beyond awareness. Everybody is aware. Everybody knows. And Black Lives Matter is not a controversial thing to say. It's an easy thing to say. We're beyond saying the easy things, and we're beyond even having it painted on the streets or you know, we need real action, and we need to stamp this out in every single spot. So that is what I will say for Sad Not Sad with you this week. And that is it. We hope that we service this topic in a way that properly reflects all that is going on. It is a fluid situation, and one that I'm sure as soon as we finish this recording, it will continue to escalate and continue to change. But you know, I think this is how we felt it was best suited to be handled by us today, because we are, after all, just white guys in our 30s who will never really know all the difficulties and all the pain and all the suffering that comes along with having to regularly see news like we have seen. So we thank you for sticking with us and for being a part of all of this with us, being an excellent, smart, intelligent, empathetic, compassionate fan base. People who listen to our show are constantly amaze me with how strongly they're willing to denounce bad things and causes they're willing to get behind. I think I've always been really impressed, and it continues tenfold this year. I think really, really awesome, and I'm really, really proud of that. And hopefully we can continue that, and hopefully we can continue being a voice for you guys and making you proud to be fans of this show. Anyway, that's a long-winded way to say for another week, we thank you very much for listening to Sportsfeld.